The Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting at verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever."
Good morning. I wonder if you had to choose two moments from your life which defined you, what moments you would choose. Moments where we could have gone left or right and it made a significant difference to our lives. As far as I can tell, those moments exist for nations as well as for us as individuals. As we remember, for our nation today, a significant day when World War II ended, our two Bible passages help us to look back at a significant moment in the life of the nation of Israel. They had known for centuries that they were the chosen people of God. They knew that they had been rescued by him, brought out of Egypt, where they had been slaves. They were led into the desert, and that was not where they were going to stay, for God had good plans for them. And he continued to say to them, "I will provide. There is a bright future ahead for you." They were about to enter the promised land, the land that God had led them out of slavery in order to find. But what sort of nation would they be? They'd so far been a traveling nation, a nation of people who lived in tents. But what would it be like to be a nation with a land, a settled nation? And it's at this stage that God was really worried. You don't often see that in Scripture, but God was clearly concerned. They'd been going round in circles doing the same patterns of behavior. God would do something good for them. They would then forget about it and go wrong, and he'd have to restore them again. And so in the section that Paul read to us that was on the screen, we see God saying, "Let me do something amazing for you. Let me do something that you will remember. And let me give you a way of remembering it." They were about to go into the promised land, but they had the River Jordan ahead of them. Not a little peddly stream, but a great big river. And Joshua, who led the people, had with him about 600,000 people. Now, just to get that in context, if everybody in Salisbury went and got 13 people, they would suddenly have about 600,000 people. And you can imagine getting to that river and thinking, well, how on earth do I cross it? A raft isn't really going to do it, even if you are a scout or a cub. And so God says, "Let me give you a better way. I'm going to stop the river. But I'm not going to stop it so you can see I've already stopped it. You're going to have to get your feet wet first. I'm going to lead you right up until the bank, and then I'm going to stop the river. And as you go across this river, I want you to pick up some stones from the very bottom of it, some big rocks. And I want you to have one of these rocks per tribe, one per big family group, so that when you look back and remember what God's done, it's not just some random thing that somebody got some stones, but actually somebody in my tribe, somebody that probably I knew, picked up this rock and laid it as a symbol of what God had done. And why do the rocks matter? Why does God say, pick them up from the bottom of the river? I think they matter because they're a symbol of what will later be less obvious, what will one day be covered with water when they've already passed through. God made a way, and the people walked through. And the stones are that evidence that the river was dry and that God did something amazing. For us, likewise, it is so important to remember, because it's not always obvious what came before. I remember the first time that we told our children that there had been not one, but two world wars. And they were amazed. They couldn't believe it. Looking around at the nation that we have now, looking around at the peace that we have, looking around at the fairness that we are still working towards. Both my granddads fought and were injured and carried their injuries for their whole lives. And perhaps you know people similarly. But as we look around, it's not always easy to remember. And so for us, the monuments that we see, the pillar that we'll be using a bit later, are those symbols that remind us to be grateful. They remind us to be grateful in two ways. First of all, like Joshua's rocks, our monuments point back to God's faithfulness. That even in the darkest times of our history, God has been with us. Like Joshua, our monuments and this day remind us of the willingness of men and women to put the good of others above themselves. Joshua quite possibly did not want to try and get over 500,000 people across the river, but he was willing and he obeyed. So today we remember. We remember there were those who were glad to go to war and help, and there were those who did it reluctantly, but nevertheless, they went and they fought for the sake of the freedom of their relatives and friends and for the sake of us, people that they would perhaps never know. But today is not just about remembering, for like Israel, the remembering helped them to set the future direction of their nation. In a moment, we'll come to make a pledge or a commitment. And I think it's one of the most important things that we do in this day. Because if war created peace, then surely there would be peace everywhere, for there has been war everywhere. But we all know it doesn't. And we, like Israel, will need to know that we cannot do this alone. We will need God's help if we are to change this world for the better, to have an impact that will last. So what is the secret? How do we make an impact that will last? John, in our second passage, or in our first passage, sorry, shared what that was about. Jesus said, abide in my love, rest in it. Know that you are loved. Know that I set the benchmark for it when I died on the cross, when I forgave your mistakes and welcomed you into my family. And now I will walk through you and work through you in ways you could never have done by yourself. And the passage talks about fruit that will last. And I always think that's strange, because whenever you get to the fruit bowl, the nice fruit has already gone off by that stage. So how do we get fruit that lasts? And Jesus said, well, the longest lasting fruit is the fruit still on the tree, isn't it? abide in me, stay connected to me. Rest and know my presence. And so today, as we remember and commit to work for a lasting difference, let's take Jesus seriously to do that, for he is the Prince of Peace. Now, many of us may be thinking, how will I make a lasting difference? What will the fruit of my life be that will last? If you're at school in 50 years' time, probably nobody will remember the quality of your homework, although they might. In 50 years' time, probably nobody in this place will remember my name, although they might. In 50 years' time, lots of what we have done will be forgotten. But God's work through us in making this place more like heaven, more just and fair and kind and loving, will have made a lasting impact. The way we parent will have raised kinder, more loving children. The way we share with one another will impact our community. The way we welcome others into this land and our city and lives will make a lasting impact. And all of this starts with welcoming Jesus into our hearts so that he can love us, so we know that we are not alone, but we are the forgiven people of God, and so are full of a love that overspills. So as we remember today those who gave so much on the field of battle, in serving, in doing what was needed, let us remember that peace and a better society is built on what is done when war stops. And let us pray for our country and for ourselves. And let us remember that the great stones and monuments set up all over our land testify to the sacrifice of those who walked before us. And let us remember God's faithfulness to us and those who have gone before, that he is and continues to be faithful. He beckons us to come, to abide, to rest, to stay, to enjoy his love, and to take that love out into the world. Amen.